message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today for another time of studying God's Word. We always want the program and our study together to be a blessing and help to you. We want you to be able to understand God's Word, and by understanding it and enjoying it, seeing it go to work in your life and begin to function. The Word of God will be effective in your life if you believe it. There's no other way for it to work. The only response that grace will accept is faith. Grace is what God is free to do for you because of what Christ did at Calvary when He died to pay for everything that's wrong with you, pay for all of your sins, and then was raised again to be the author of eternal life when you trust Him. Grace means that God provides it all. Somebody said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's true. It's the gift of God, and grace is a gift principle. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's what Paul calls in Romans 5 the free gift of grace. Because it's that way, because grace is something that is freely given and given by God as a gift, then the only response grace will accept is faith. Faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything. Paul says, to him that works not, doesn't perform in any way, but believes. You see, faith is not a work. Faith is a non-meritorious sense of perception. It is a way of knowing things. There are basically three ways that you know everything you know. One is what is the scientific method, so-called empiricism. You can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can hear it, you can observe it with your senses. Then there is rationalism. That is, you can figure it out with your mind. It's logical, it's plausible, it makes sense, it adds up. You can rationalize the thing and understand it logically. But then there is faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. And you see, there are some things that you can't know and you can't perceive except by faith. There are some things you can't feel and that are real that you can't demonstrate physically to your senses. For example, in the air, in the room that you're sitting in, are many sounds and pictures floating through the air that you don't hear. You take a radio and turn it on and you could hear the sounds. You take your television, you'd have to unplug it from the cable, but if you took your television and hooked it to an antenna, you would see and hear things going through the air right there where you are. You know what I'm talking about, sound waves, picture waves, television waves. You don't perceive and sense them with your physical senses, but they're real. They're things that you can't logically understand and comprehend and contemplate. Go over to the wall plug that you got the television plugged in, stick your finger into the wall plug and let the electricity knock you back out in the room. You can't logically and rationally understand all that. After all these years, with all that we do with electricity, we really don't understand what electricity is. We understand how it works in large measure, but what is it and what makes it work? Well, the rationale hasn't been developed to understand that. A lot of things you rationally can't get. There are some things you just know by faith, and you have to understand by faith. Now, faith depends on a report. It depends on somebody telling you something, and then you trusting it, you believing what they tell you. Well, faith in the Bible sense depends upon, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Everything depends on the fact that God has spoken. And grace, the only thing grace will accept from you is your faith in what God has said and the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. It's a wonderful thing grace is. And it's a wonderful opportunity for you just to rest and relax. You don't have to work. You don't have to do. You don't have to be observed. You don't have to figure it out. You just rest in what God has accomplished for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Romans chapter number 5, in our studies together, we've come down to verse number 12. where the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Paul is going to change gears here in Romans 5, and he's going to start talking about sin, the issue of sin as a nature. And the one Bible commentator, a Bible teacher of a past generation, E.W. Bullinger, he said that any Bible teacher that doesn't make the distinction between Romans 5:11 and 5:12 doesn't notice the break here, where previously Paul has been dealing with the issue of sins in the plural, that is, the actions, the things that you do. There's a distinction between that, and that's what Paul's been dealing with up to this point, and the issue of sin, and that is the root and the nature from which the actions come. The actions are the fruit that's produced by the root. One is the nature and the other are the actions. Sins are the things that I do wrong. Sin is the reason in me that makes me do them. One is the root, one is the fruit. Now, give you an illustration. If you had a, say you had a pear tree in your backyard. I used to live in Alabama, born and raised in Alabama. My family, we lived there for many years before we moved to the Chicago area. And we had a home where we had a big pear tree in the backyard, big humongous tree. And the pears were not the kind of pears that you would eat off the tree. They were cooking pears. And they were hard. They weren't much good. And the tree was not in good shape. It would have these pears. It would be bent over with the pears. And then it would start dropping the pears on the ground. And what a mess they made. I hated that tree because it put hundreds of pounds of pears on the ground that just... They rotted, they worms in them. This was a mess. And I was out there having to clean them up all year long during the season. So I'd go out there at a certain time of the year, and I'd take a stick and I'd try to beat all those pears off the limbs to get them all at one time. Now you can go out there and pick all the pears off the tree and clean up the tree and clean up the yard and get rid of all the things that are going to make a mess on that pear tree and put them in the garbage and get rid of them. And you picked all the fruit. And you did a good job. Your yard's clean and safe, right? Well, yeah, until when? Until next year. Now, next year, you know what's going to happen? That goofy pear tree is going to have some more pears. And they're going to load down the tree, fall all over your yard, and you're going to have to go out there and pick them off again. Now, that's just like in your life. When you're trying to take care of the sins in your life, there's a sin, I got to pull it off my life. There's a sin, I got to clean up my life. And you can clean up your life and straighten up your life and get rid of all the fruit and all the individual sins and all these things and try to clean up everything. But you know what the problem is? Next season, here they come again. See, picking the fruit isn't going to clean you up. Now, Christ died for our sins. You need to understand this. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, when He died there at Calvary, He died for your sins. He paid for the actions and the acts that you've committed that were wrong and that were bad. He died for them. He paid for them. But He did more than that. He didn't simply die for your sins. The wrath of God was poured out against your sins there, and He died for them, and He was buried. And He was raised again the third day. And His resurrection tells you that the payment is made in full and that your sins will never come to haunt you again if you're in Christ. But you know, you need more than just that. I needed more than just picking the pears off the tree. You know what I did with that pear tree? One day I went down to a friend of mine's house who had a chainsaw. And he came up with his pickup truck and the chainsaw. And we went out in the backyard and we began to cut the limbs off that pear tree and made a big stump out of it. And then I took that chainsaw and put it right down at the bottom of that tree and I cut that tree off right at the ground. Now, having cut that tree off at the ground and killed it, you know what happened next year? I didn't have any problem with pears the next year. You know why? That tree's dead and it wasn't going to bring forth any more fruit. I kill the root, and I got rid of the fruit. You can pick the fruit off the tree every year, but the root will just bring it back the next year. But you kill the root. You cut that tree down, And you know what? You're not having more trouble with the root. So Jesus Christ didn't just die for your sins. He literally died as you. In other words, when Christ died, it wasn't just Him dying, you died there. You remember what Paul says? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now you need to listen to this, because these verses explain to you what God accomplished for you when Jesus Christ died at Calvary. Here are some things in your Bible that you by faith can learn by reading the Word of God, because God has said it, that you're never going to know any other way. You're not going to know this because you feel it, because this isn't something that you're going to know empirically. You're not going to know this because you thought about it and you rationally concluded that it ought to be this way, because this isn't something that human viewpoint is going to instruct you in. You're going to have to know this by faith, because God and His Word communicated to you that this is what He did. Do you understand, folks, that there is a reality that is beyond what is physical? There is a reality that is spiritual, and that's what God tells you about. And the issue has to do with what God accomplished for you when the Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary. Now, in Romans chapter 5, the issue is going to be the issue of the root, not the fruit. And the issue is he's going to look back at the old creation and where sin came from. And in Romans 5, there are two men that are the issue. One is Adam, one is Christ. There are two actions: Adam's sin and Christ's obedience. There are two results. Adam's sin brings forth death and condemnation and slavery. Christ's obedience brings life and righteousness and freedom. There are literally two creations that Paul is going to talk to you about in Romans chapter number 5. And I want you to notice them, because it's important to see how that these two things lay themselves out. There's the old creation in Adam, and then there's the new creation in Christ. And the thing that stands between the two is the cross. The thing that makes the difference between the old creation and the new creation and where you are today involved in them is involved in who you were in Adam and who now you are, or at least you can be if you trust Him, in Christ. You're moved from Adam into Christ. And when that happens, folks, you're moved from the old creation into a new creation, into something new that God is accomplishing. You'll notice in the old creation, verse number 16, Romans 5:16. Maybe start beginning reading in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And I've read that verse a lot of times and say, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What's he saying? He's just saying that the result of Adam's action and the result of Christ's action are different. What Christ did and its results are different from what Adam did and his results. And you're going to see that here. For if through the offense of one many were made dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Here's one man, and one man's offense, one man's sin, one man's failure, and one man's obedience. Listen here. Jesus Christ, in His life, lived in absolute, complete, perfect obedience to the law of Almighty God. He came and did everything the law required. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He never made a mistake. He never violated the commandments of God. He lived and manifest in human flesh absolute, complete, perfect righteousness. Obedience. Disobedience. You're in Adam, you're in an offensive situation. In Christ, you're in a accepted obedient situation. And not as by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Notice, over here there is condemnation because of sin. Verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. There isn't any question about it. The offense over here brought condemnation. But Christ's obedience over here brings exactly the opposite. Verse 16, again. not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, that is, unto being declared and made righteous. The free gift, verse 18, came upon all men under justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Listen, folks, you want to be right with God, you have to be in Christ. That's all there is to it. You know what the old life brings? It brings condemnation. The new life in Christ brings righteousness. That isn't all. This thing over here brings death. The condemnation is death. The verdict, the judgment. Jesus Christ hangs on the cross and he says, blame me for their sins. And so God blames him and condemns him and judges him. And the condemnation is that he's guilty. And the sentence is death. Death. For by one man, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And death reigned because of him. For by one man's offense, death reigned. Death controls. Death gets you. You want a testimony to that? Just get in your automobile, drive down the street past the cemetery and look out there across that skull orchard, and there's a testimony to the truth of Scripture. The death rate is one apiece. And listen, you can light your candles and you can pray your prayers and you can go to your healers and do whatever you want to do, and the death rate is still one apiece, because that's what the condemnation of sin brings. And it isn't just physical death in the ground, by the way. You know what it is? Revelation 21 verse 8, you listen. Revelation 21, 8 says that the fearful and unbelieving and abominable whoremongers and sorcerers, and you say, but preacher, I'm not like all that, all right, and all liars. Gets most of us, doesn't it? No, that gets all of us. And all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You've got two deaths to die. Not just your physical body, put to dead bed with a shovel, throw dirt in your face and pat you down in the dirt. But you've got another death. That's the death of your inner man, the real you. And that's the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's the condemnation. That's the death. You know what Jesus Christ brings? What's the answer to death? Folks, there's but one answer to death, and that's life. That's the only answer. And you have that in Christ. Verse 17 says, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. The gift. You got to get that. It's the gift of righteousness. God's justice will give everlasting life to anyone who has perfect righteousness. You get in Christ and you have His righteousness, the righteousness of God in Him, and therefore God can give you life. Take away the everlasting death and give you everlasting life, life eternal. You don't have to wait till you die physically to get that life either, my friend. You have it right now. It's not something you have to wait till you die and go to heaven to get. It's something God gives you this moment. And that's important because when death reigns over here, listen, you're made a slave, because it says death reign, slave to sin. Sin is going to reign. Verse 21, sin has reigned unto death. Sin is what reigns to death. Sin is what brings condemnation, and it makes you a slave. You ever looked around you, you know, and you look at all the problems? You know the probably the best definition of sin in all the Bible is in Isaiah 53, verse 6, where the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way. You ever notice how we got this thing about doing it ourselves, doing our own thing? When I have three boys, and when they were younger, they're all, my youngest one is a teenager now, and the older two are in their 20s. When they were younger, we were down at a grocery store right down the street from where we lived, and he had gone down. Then I took the three of them with me, and they were one of them was about 12, and one's about 8, and one's about 5. And we go into the grocery store. Then we got the groceries, and we're coming out, and I've got two armloads of groceries, and my oldest boy's got another load, and the middle boy's gotten the door to get us out, and my little guy is standing at the gumball machine looking at the gumballs. And I go over and I tell him, "Come on, David, let's go." And he just stood there. And so I go over and I instruct him a little closer, you know, "Come on, son, we got to go." Well, we go over and Rick's got the door open. Jody's holding the door. Rick goes out and I go out and I look back and there stands my five-year-old at the gumball machine. So I go back in over there and I tap him on the rump with my foot and I say, "Come on, you know, try to get his attention. Let's go." And he, "No, he's not going. I want a gumball." And he wasn't going to go. "Well, now what are you going to do? You know, there you are. And you got your arms full of groceries. You got one kid holding the door, the other kid out on the sidewalk. You can't leave him out there because you don't know, you know, get in the traffic or something. You're in the city. And so you go over here. So you got the groceries. Well, you can't leave this kid here. What's the problem?" That little five-year-old is going to do his thing. He's in absolute total rebellion to his dad. Now, you don't have to worry about his dad because I learned years ago that as long as I'm about five times bigger than he is, I was able to take care of the situation. But you know, that little boy standing in front of that gumball machine's grown up. And that spirit of turn everyone into his own way, you know what it does? It gets stronger too, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. You look around you out there and you see people and you see all kind of sin and all kind of wickedness and all kind of failure and all kind of things going on. And you know what you say? You say, "Well, that's just the way people are." And that's exactly my point. That's just the way people are, slaves to sin. And the only place you'll ever have any freedom, and that's what you get in Christ, folks, is you're made free, is in Christ. And the way you get the freedom, he says there in verse 7 of chapter 6, "He that is dead is freed from sin." You know what God did? He took you and he put you in his Son at Calvary, and there you died. He didn't die simply for your sins. He died as you. You died there with him. Now, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, get this now. Get a hold of this. Religion and salvation and what we're talking about in the Word of God isn't just going down and joining a church, walking an aisle, shaking a preacher's hand, or having somebody throw some water over your forehead or feed you a wafer or pat you on the back and give you a certificate because you passed confirmation. It isn't any of those things. That's religion. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's religion. Salvation in the Bible has to do with God Almighty taking your sins and forgiving them, putting them under the blood of Jesus Christ, and then giving you His life and His freedom. What God does for you is He takes you out of Adam and places you into Christ. And there is more involved in this transaction than simply forgiving your sins. There is the moving of you literally, spiritually, from a position of being in the old creation to being in the new creation. You remember what Paul said? If any man be what? In Christ. He's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new identity. And I want you to learn that word. A new identity. A new position. We use these terms interchangeably sometimes. A new position. A new identity. A new standing. You're somebody new. You used to have an identity in Adam where you were condemned to death and a slave to sin. Now you have an identity in Christ where you're righteous. You have the righteousness of God, the life of Jesus Christ, and you're set free to serve Him, empowered by His life. A new identity. Christ is everything over here. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a new life. Colossians 3, verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear." Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." You have His righteousness. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We have God's righteousness. We have acceptance before God where we've been made accepted in the Beloved One. We have the mind of Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you, this way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He becomes our motivation. Paul says, for the love of Christ constrains me. It puts its arms around me and squeezes me tight with arms of everlasting love. And then it picks me up and just walks off with me. And the Christian life isn't me striving any longer to achieve something. It's what God is doing in me and through me for Himself. You say, how does that happen, preacher? It happens as the Word of God works effectually in you that believe. It happens as you begin to have your mind to understand and your heart to believe all that the Scriptures declare to you that God has accomplished for you in His Son at Calvary when Jesus paid it all. You see, Paul says Christ is all and in all. He's the issue and He's everything. For you and for me, the issue is not what we do, it's where we are. Are we over here in the old creation, condemned to death in the lake of fire and a slave to sin, unable to help ourselves, helpless? Or by faith have you moved out of Adam and been placed by God into Christ, where you have His righteousness and His life and His freedom for that life to live in? The way you pass from here to here, folks, it's not by religion and not by what you do. It's simply by your faith resting in what God's Word says to you. You agree with God and trust what God trusts. That's the blood of His Son. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. You need to do that right now. Rely exclusively upon the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that His death at Calvary is all that God requires. And God will save you that instant and put you over there in that new creation. And when you're in that new creation, now you just need to get into the Word of God. Don't you miss next time's broadcast. We're going to study exactly what God made you when He put you in there and how you got there. We'll see you then. Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that you'd like to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, A New Creation. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 248. That's tape offer number 248. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.